Let us turn in our Bibles this evening to the Old Testament, to the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, commencing to read at verse 1, let us now hear the word of God. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I will place you in your own land, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. And may the Lord be pleased to bless his word to all of our hearts tonight for Christ's sake. If you look there at verse 3, you'll find a question. It was a question asked by God, and it was directed to the prophet Ezekiel. Can these bones live? Can these bones live? Now, this prophecy was initially given by Ezekiel to the nation of Israel. If you glance down there at verse 11, you see the way the Lord identifies the bones found in this particular valley. Then he said unto me, again referring to Ezekiel, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So this prophecy was initially given to the nation of Israel, but it has gospel application for every age and for every race. Now, at this particular time in the history of the nation, both Israel and Judah were ruined politically. Assyria had scattered Israel in 722 BC, and Judah had been destroyed by Babylon in 586. It was in that year the city of Jerusalem fell, and it was also in that year that the temple was destroyed. And by the way, Ezekiel, when he wrote his book, was a captive in the land of Babylon. He was carried away when the Babylonians came in 597. So he had been there for a number of years. He had been there even before the city of Jerusalem fell and before the temple was destroyed. Now both Isaiah the prophet and Jeremiah the prophet had predicted a return from captivity for Judah. And that was, in a sense, life from the dead as far as the people of Judah were concerned. They would come alive again. The point that has been made in this particular chapter and in this particular story is that the dead must be brought to life by divine intervention, or else there's no hope. Now, in this chapter, the work of God's Holy Spirit in regeneration is featured. So please keep that in mind when you come to read this 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, that this great truth of regeneration by the Spirit has been featured. It's all about life from the dead. It's all about a new birth. And this was the message that the Lord Jesus Christ taught to Nicodemus when he met that religious leader in John chapter 3. And we all know those familiar words that he spoke to Nicodemus: except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this Old Testament passage clearly teaches that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born again. Now, our first birth, which determines our race and our nationality, is never sufficient for citizenship in the kingdom of God. We need to have a new birth. And that's what this chapter really is all about. So the new birth is not explicitly taught in the New Testament. It's also taught in the Old Testament. And the unity of the Scriptures has been clearly taught. It's the same message: except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Ezekiel's vision of the Valley of Dry Bones is a picture of redemption and restoration. It's a picture of spiritual conversion, a picture of spiritual transformation. And at the same time, it is also a picture of revival, showing us what God can do by his mighty power, by the Spirit of God, in sending revival. It's a picture of the gospel's power to give life to the dead. Now, according to the Apostle Paul, when we were dead in sins, God quickened us. And that word quickened simply means made us alive. He made us alive together with Christ. And what the Apostle Paul expressed in theological proposition, Ezekiel proclaimed with prophetic symbolism. They both preached the gospel. So what we have here in the 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel is the gospel. It's the same gospel that the Apostle Paul taught and preached in his epistles, a message of life from the dead. And this text illustrates three essential truths that reveal God as the solution to the sinner's need. So keep that in mind as we seek to develop this simple meditation tonight from the Scriptures. But before delving into the message itself, there are just a few things lying here on the surface that I want you to see that's applicable to us as the people of God. The first thing that I notice here is what the Lord showed to Ezekiel. And I pray that tonight the Lord would show you this very same thing in this gathering. What the Lord showed to Ezekiel. Well, what did the Lord show to Ezekiel? The Lord showed him a valley full of dead bones. And we're told that they were very many, so they were numerous. And then we're told that they were very dry. They were very needy. And as I indicated just a moment or two ago, these bones represent the whole nation of Israel. Dead bones. Dry bones. We have here, yes, a physical picture, but we also have a spiritual picture before us here in the Scripture. So what the Lord showed to Ezekiel, this valley full of dry bones. And then what the Lord said to Ezekiel. We read here in verse 3, the first thing the Lord said: can these bones live? Do you believe that God can raise men and women from the dead and give them new life? Well, that's what the Lord came to ask Ezekiel. The Lord put him on the spot, and he replied with reverence, "O Lord, thou knowest," but there was evasion as well. He just says, "Lord, thou knowest." So the Lord put him on the spot, and I'm putting you on the spot right now, and I'm asking you, can these bones live? The people that we're praying for, the people who are round about us who are dead in trespasses and in sins, can these bones live? So we're put on the spot. And I suppose we could take the same course that Ezekiel took. Lord, thou knowest. Humanly speaking, it's not possible. But with God, all things are possible. So God came, first of all, and asked the question, can these bones live? And then when God's servant responded, then the Lord said, I want you to prophesy. Hear ye the word of the Lord. So I want you to preach this message. Hear ye the word of the Lord. And then later on, in verse 9, I think it is, he says unto his servant again, prophesy unto the wind. What was it he say to the wind? Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So the Lord told him to do two things. He told him to preach, hear ye the word of the Lord. And then he told him to pray. Come, O wind, and breathe upon these bones. I can preach, but I need you to pray. And you in your own way can share this evangelistic message with men and women that I will never meet, that I will never have the opportunity to address. You can speak to them, and then I can pray for you as I do. So there are two things that God's servant was told by the Lord to do. I want you to preach the word, hear ye the word of the Lord, and I want you to pray for the wind. And the wind here is a type of the Spirit of God to come and to bless the preaching of the word. So what did the Lord show Ezekiel? A valley full of dead bones. He showed him the nation of Israel dead in trespasses and in sins. What did the Lord say to him? I want you to preach the word to these bones, and I want you to pray for the wind to come to honor the word that these bones might live. And then what the Lord shared with Ezekiel. In verse 10 we're told, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So what did the Lord share with Ezekiel? The Lord shared with Ezekiel what the Lord can do. Ezekiel could preach and he could pray, but only the Lord by his Spirit could give life and impart life. And that's what the Lord shared with Ezekiel. He showed him what God can do. And when you look at these verses before you tonight in this chapter of the Word of God, we are shown what God can do. Can these bones live? Thou knowest, Lord. We have a responsibility to preach, a responsibility to pray, but only the Lord can give life. So that being the case, when we open the doors of this house for preaching, we ought to be here to support the preaching of the Word, to engage in prayer, to pray that God will do what only He can do. And only God can break into the hearts and lives of our loved ones. And some of our loved ones can be stubborn and hard-hearted and unbelieving. And sometimes we despair. And we have tried so many different ways to invite them to come and so many different ways to encourage them. And they seem to be going nowhere and getting nowhere. And they're hard and they're indifferent. And it seems they're even worse than they've been for years. What can we do? What's the solution? We can preach, and we can pray, and we can stand back and see what God can do. The Lord must do the work, but the Lord is pleased to use your witness and my witness and your prayers and my prayers to accomplish His divine purpose. They all work together. It's not a one-sided thing. God uses means, and He uses the means of His Word. And He uses the means of prayer. But ultimately, at the end of the day, we've got to stand back and see God at work. Can these bones live on the Clarcona or Cowie Road? Can these bones live in Robinson Hills? Can these bones live in Hiawassee, Apopka, Cowie Road? Can these bones live? We look around. We've visited these homes time and time again. We've given out thousands of invitations, and nobody's coming in. The word comes again, can these bones live? And the answer is, in the words of Ezekiel, Lord, thou knowest. We're going to keep on preaching. We're going to keep on praying. one of these glorious Sundays, God's going to break through. And we're going to see revival in a graveyard. We're going to see a work done for the glory of God. We've been waiting. We've been tarrying. We've been calling upon God. We're discouraged at times. But our God is still the same. He's on the throne. And he can do great things. So what the Lord showed to Ezekiel, the great need. What the Lord said to him, preach and pray. And what the Lord shared with him, he shared with him what God can do. So keep that in mind. And I think we can learn other lessons from this. We need to look at what Ezekiel saw, a lost world. And we need to listen to what Ezekiel heard, the living word of the living God. And we need to learn from what Ezekiel learnt something about the Lord's work. So we've got to look to the fields. They're white already under harvest. We've got to listen to the voice of the Lord. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and lo, I am with you always. And then we've got to learn from what Ezekiel learned, something about the Lord's work. The Lord's work, done in his way, will accomplish great things. And only as it is done in God's way will it accomplish great things. But it involves preaching, it involves praying, and it involves the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's when all of those things come together, when there's preaching and the power of the Spirit of God, backed up with praying, the praying of the people of God. So it encourages me when I step out this little door onto the pulpit, coming from a time of prayer with many of the people of God gathered in the place of prayer. That's your responsibility. Now, if you want to make excuses, don't make excuses to me. Tell the Lord about it. Tell the Lord why you can't come. Tell the Lord why you can't be there to back up the preaching of the word. Because God is making it clear, this is the way he works. This is the way he does things. Preaching, praying, and the power of the Spirit. So I come out here sometimes, and it's hard going. Sometimes it's hard to preach here. And it can be for different reasons. We can be tired. We can be under pressure. We can be discouraged because of a lack of response. But I can tell you times when I come out from that prayer room knowing that I have the prayers of the people of God behind me, in spite of maybe how I feel, that encourages me to preach the word. That's something you have to deal with. That's something you have to give an answer to God about. This is not a one-man ministry. This involves every member of the church. We're a body here. It's just like a physical body. If this hand's not working, then all the burden is going to go to this hand. This arm make it weary. That's why God has given us two hands and two arms and two legs and two feet. We don't want to get lopsided. We've got to labor together. It's a body. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It's the family of God. It's God's work. And God has called us to preach and to pray and to look to the Holy Spirit to give the increase. And when we do it in God's way, these bones around about us will come to life. So that's just a few things for us as the people of God to think about. These are a few things just lying here on the surface. But if you look at this story again, look at the plight of the sinner before God. Verse 1. Ezekiel was taken somewhere by the hand of the Lord. Now the hand of the Lord upon Ezekiel, that enabled him. And then later on, we read about how the Lord said unto him. So when you read those words, you think about the voice of the Lord. The hand of the Lord enabled him, and the voice of the Lord encouraged him. Where did the Lord take him to? The Lord took him to a valley. Why did the Lord take him to the valley? Well, to observe a gruesome sight. The unburied skeletal remains of a fallen army. It is a depiction of Jerusalem after its fall to the Babylonians, littered with dead bodies. And the Lord brought Ezekiel to this valley, and he placed him there in the midst of the valley, and he had to walk around that battlefield. And the Lord wanted him to take a good, long, hard look at the scene. And I think the Lord would have us have a long, hard look at the situation we find ourselves in today. the situation that is all around us, this horrific sight depicting a people, depicting a nation. The valley is mentioned twice in these opening two verses. And sometimes the Lord brings us as his people to a valley to show us something, to speak to us, and to share some things with us. And the Lord brought Ezekiel to this valley because he wanted him to see something. He wanted to tell Ezekiel what he wanted him to do, and he wanted to share something with Ezekiel about what he could do. And he wanted Ezekiel to have a long, hard look at the situation that was before him. I want you tonight, as the people of God, to have a good, hard look at your lives. To have a good, hard look at your situation. And I want you to listen to what God has got to say to you. And I want you to hear what the Lord wants to say unto you. And what the Lord wants to show unto you. And I want you to see what God can do for you, and do for us, and do for this people, and do for this church. Because the Lord can do great things for us, and we need the Lord to do great things for us. We're only touching the surface, as it were, of this great city. We've got great things to do for God. He wanted Ezekiel to have a good, long, hard look at things. So the Lord brought him to the valley. Maybe someone here tonight is in a valley. Maybe you've been in a valley. Psalm 23 verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The Lord was with Ezekiel in the valley. Remember David and Goliath? Remember the story we preached on a few weeks back? The valley of Elah. And the Lord was with David in the valley of Elah and gave him victory in that valley. And the Lord brought Ezekiel to the valley to speak to him, to show him certain things, and to share certain things with him. The Lord was going to use this man. And if you want to be used of the Lord, maybe the Lord has got to bring you to a valley where you've got to prove him, prove his power, and listen to him. So the spiritual lesson before us here is that sinners are spiritually dead, and death is a desperate condition. And Ezekiel's vision could not have been a more vivid vision. As he scanned this valley of death, he could see no corpses, but rather he saw dry and scattered bones, bones that had been picked clean by the buzzards and bleached by the sun. No evidence of life at all. All life is gone. This was an eerie scene of utter death. The bones were inactive and unresponsive. Picture of death. By showing Ezekiel this ghastly scene of physical death, God was revealing how sin deadened humanity. And that's what God saw. And that's what God sees when he looks down upon humanity. Men dead in trespasses and sins, inactive, unresponsive to his word. Dead, dead, dead. Sin is both the cause of spiritual death and the sphere of the sinner's corruption. And the effect of spiritual death is spiritual inactivity. Sinners are blind and they're cold, oblivious to the things of God. So the scene that Ezekiel saw was a hopeless scene. And we look around us and all we are greeted with and met with is hopelessness, depravity, blindness, coldness, indifference. Many a time we say, how can we break through this? How can we ever see this work growing? How can we ever see people saved? It's a rare thing to hear of people getting saved these days. It's a rare thing to hear of conversions to Christ. It's a rare thing. There was a time back home we heard these things on a regular basis. We were shaking hands with new converts all of the time. But not so today. We would be greatly surprised, I suppose, to hear of a conversion these times. But has God changed? Can these bones live? Lord, thou knowest. What's God's answer? Preaching and praying and the power of the Holy Spirit. So these disjointed bones were so far from life and recovery that it seemed out of the question when God said to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And humanly speaking, the answer would be no, if anyone other than God had asked the question. And what an answer the prophet gave. O Lord God, thou knowest. The prophet knew, humanly speaking, that it was utterly impossible. But thank God, he knew something of the power of God. So we have here the plight of the sinner before God, but then, secondly, there's the part of the servant of God, and we've touched upon this already in the service. Now, verses 4 through 10 focus on both the means and the end of God's gracious provision of life for sinners. I'm talking here about regeneration. Two important principles are established here in these verses 4 through 10. The first is that evangelism precedes regeneration. And Romans chapter 10 makes this abundantly clear. It sets forth the order clearly. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And hearing requires an evangelist. And the evangelist, when he preaches the general call of God in the gospel. Because in the gospel, all men are commanded to repent. And every faithful gospel preacher issues this call, this free offer of Christ and the gospel to all men. It's our duty, it's man's responsibility to believe the gospel. And that's the part of the gospel preacher, to issue that general call, telling men to repent of their sins and to believe the gospel. And God commanded Ezekiel to preach to dry bones, bleached bones. Ezekiel had done some strange things in his preaching career. But this was perhaps the strangest. I want you to preach to dead bones. Here's a man sent to a graveyard to preach to dead bones. Well, that sounds pretty ridiculous. But he had to go because God commanded him to go. And that's why gospel preachers preach the gospel, because God has commanded us to preach the gospel. If men are dead and incapable of hearing, why preach? Because God has commanded us to preach. And what a privilege it is to become part of the means leading to God's divine purpose. And as I said earlier, God told his servant to prophesy, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." And then he was to prophesy to the wind. He was to call for the wind to breathe upon these bones after he preached the word. What an example this man of God sets. He did not preach a maybe gospel of positive thinking or of personal effort, because dead bones can't do anything. He preached the good news that God would do for dead sinners what they cannot do for themselves: impart life. God imparting life always is successful and is irresistible. And the Lord gave the prophet a sobering yet encouraging reminder where the real power in preaching lies. Pray for the wind to come. Pray for the wind to blow upon or breathe upon these dead bones. So he's preaching to them, "Hear ye the word of the Lord," and he's praying, "Wind of heaven, come and breathe upon these dead bones." And that's where the preacher derives his power, from the Holy Spirit of God. That's where you get power to witness for Christ. And if we're not witnessing and preaching and laboring with the help of the power of God, this man, we're told, he was taken by the hand of the Lord. The Spirit of God moved him. He was under the control of the Spirit. That's why he now has been successful. That's why he's now been a soul winner, if you like. That's why he's now seeing a work being done in the graveyard. He's seeing the unthinkable happening. God is at work. He's under the power and sway of the Spirit of God. He's preaching. He's praying. The power is resting upon his ministry. And when he preached, things began to happen. I long for that to happen. I've been praying for that for years. Things began to happen. There was a noise. Can you imagine preaching to these dry bones, these bleached bones, and suddenly there's a noise in the graveyard? There's a stirring, and bones began to move, and they fitted themselves together, and then flesh appeared. This is amazing. God's at work. This is an unbelievable thing that is happening. Preaching was able to make a difference on the outside, but not on the inside. The disjointed skeletons looked better. Now they were corpses. They were still dead. So there's been some kind of movement. Flesh has been put onto these bones. There's been a gathering together but they're dead corpses now. It's sobering to realize that preachers, by the power of logic or presentation, may motivate reform in sinners, but they cannot impart life. Things are happening under the preaching, but these corpses are still dead. It's encouraging to preach with the assurance that the inner work belongs to God. So we have the plight of the sinner before God. We have the part of the servant of God. And then we come to the most exciting part, the power of the Spirit of God. The preacher issues the general call of the gospel, as I always do. But the Spirit applies that call to make it effectual by implanting life in the sinner, enabling that sinner to believe the gospel and to repent of sin and to come to Christ. And as Ezekiel preached the word, the wind came upon those corpses. And the wind is the word for spirit. He prayed, come. He prayed for the Spirit to come. And the word for spirit is the same in the Greek and in the Hebrew. It's a picture word. And it pictures breath, breathed, or panted out. Remember the wolf in the nursery rhyme? It huffed and it puffed and it blew the house down. That's the picture we have here. We have the picture before us of irresistible power. We have the picture of something that is violent even. Something of the energy of God being let loose when the word has been preached. So the message has been declared. God's servant has prayed for the Spirit to come. And then the breath of God, the breath of the Spirit falls upon that congregation in the graveyard. And there's a stirring, there's a coming together. And there's the imparting of life into those corpses. And the Bible tells us that the Spirit breathed into them life. Breath came into them, and they lived. And the Bible tells us that the corpses stood up as a great army, full of vigor and full of life. They're transformed into a mighty army for God. Is that not a picture of the Church of Jesus Christ? I think it is. The Lord has given us new life. Thank God we're alive tonight in Christ. We're like a mighty army marching against the gates of the kingdom of darkness. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. That's the picture. The church is marching onward. It's marching forward. It's the onward march of the church, the militant church of Christ. And with the power of the gospel and the power of prayer and the power of the Spirit of God, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the onward march of the church. With God, all things are possible. The devil's power is limited. God's power is not limited. He has unlimited power. The devil can't be everywhere present at the one time, but God is. And God is supreme. There's only one God, unique, marvelous. And yet he condescends to meet sinners at the point of the need through Christ. And he gives to them life. Dead bones can live when God takes hold upon them. Sinners do not need to despair of having to work up that which is impossible for them. They only have need to come to Christ in repentance and faith. And the work of the Spirit is both powerful and visible. There's the breath, and then there's the wind. The wind is visible. You look out there, and you can see the trees, the branches moving. There's evidence of wind. There's the visible proof that there's wind. So you have the whole thought of something being powerful and visible, the breath and the wind. Coming to Christ is the sure evidence of the Spirit giving life. Saints of God should earnestly tell sinners the good news of the gospel and pray that the Holy Spirit will accompany the word and move sinners to salvation. There's no other way. We cannot see these pews filled up. We cannot get people over the threshold of this building apart from that. We can't do it in our own strength and our own energy. Look to God. Believe God. Believe in the power of God. Believe that He has a purpose for this church on the Clarkona Okoye Road. Believe in the power of God. Can these bones live? Does God have a cause here? Does God have a purpose for this work? Thou God knowest. And take encouragement from this message. Because we all have loved ones and they break our hearts many a time. They're so unresponsive, so indifferent. And they can't see that what we're trying to do is in their own interests, for their own good. We've got to let them know, hear ye the word of the Lord. So there's the man who was prepared. God prepared this man for this task. There was the message that was preached, hear ye the word of the Lord. There was the might that was present, the might and power of the Holy Spirit. And there was the miracle that was performed. The breath entered in and they lived. And they became a mighty army. Well, that was a wonderful sight to behold. I'm sure Ezekiel was encouraged. These were his own people. Now the people had to wait. They thought their hopes were all gone and shattered forever. They didn't think they would be as long in Babylon. And if this was 10 years into the captivity, or thereabouts, they still had to wait for many more years before they realized the promise of God, before they were brought out of the graveyard and taken back and put into their own land. But it did come. It did happen. God kept His word. People had to learn a lesson. But God did bring them back. He brought His people back. He gave life to those bones and He brought them back and He placed them again in His own land because God honors His word. So this is a wonderful story. But please remember what the Lord showed to Ezekiel. And then what the Lord said to Ezekiel. And what the Lord shared with Ezekiel. And we need to look at what Ezekiel saw. And we need to listen to what Ezekiel heard. And we need to learn from what Ezekiel learnt. Something about a lost world. Something about the living word. And something about the Lord's work. And we have here the picture of the sinner before God. The part of the servant of God. And the power of the Spirit of God. It's all here. And this is how God works in regeneration. This is how God gives new life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. There's nothing too hard for Him. May God bless His own word to all of our hearts tonight. I'm just going to bow for prayer.